Coming up next, I'll reveal 3 steps for you to leave a job without any regret. And then recent job quitters, well, they're starting to regret their choices. Labor unions are coming back. And of course, I'm going to coach you up. It all starts right now. All right, folks, welcome to the Ken Coleman Show, where we help you win at work and win at life. I want you making more money, but I also want you experiencing more meaning in your work. And we get calls a lot on this program. Ken, I've got a great opportunity. The caller will go on to list out why it's a great opportunity, and it's very obvious that they're right. And yet, they feel badly about it. Well, once we dive into that conversation, what we find is that they don't really feel bad about it. They're worried. They feel great about the opportunity that's been offered to them, but they begin to focus on the worry of what will others say about me when I tell them it's time for me to go? What will they say about me when I'm gone? Now, they never say it that way, but as I reveal that is the source of their anxiety or worry, they go, well, you're right, Ken. And these are all good people. In fact, it's important to point out that only good and decent people have these kind of feelings. Good and decent people will always wonder, well, I don't want anybody to feel let down because I worked here for a while, you helped train me, you invested in me, it was a good environment, whatever, 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 and now I'm going to leave. Only good and decent people worry about, well, I know that I'm relied upon, I know that I am somebody who delivers results and people count on me, and I don't want to ever leave somebody in a bad way. Only good and decent people have these thoughts. However, as I try to remind people all the time, if they can't survive without you, they won't survive with you. No one is irreplaceable. So what we've got to do is let go of this messianic complex, this messiah, superhero, super heroine complex, right? And say, okay, wait a second. What's really driving this? Guilt. It's that you don't have proper perspective. So let's break this down. Let's dive into this. Because I want to give everybody listening 3 ways to quit a job to where you have no regret. So you're looking forward, not looking backwards. Every month since June of 2021, folks, this is staggering to me. More than 4 million workers, or 3% of the total U.S. employment, left their jobs, most of the time leaving for higher paying jobs. Not always, but most of the time. About 1 in 5 workers who quit during the past 2 years regret it. Well, that's not surprising. Where do you think we come up with the phrase, the grass isn't always greener? Now, a lot of times that has a relationship implication to it, right? You know, a spouse cheats on another spouse or whatever. They go, oh, it's going to be better with them. And they find out when it's all said and done, it's not. But it also has a professional implication. 1 in 5 workers who quit during the last 2 years are now saying they regret leaving their prior company for what was supposed to be a better gig. This is a Harris poll survey that USA Today conducted. Just 26% of job switchers say they like their job enough to stay. I mean, we hear this all the time. I feel like in the last couple of months, we've had a steady diet of people calling saying, Ken, I took a new job. It was about a year ago, 6 months ago, a couple years ago. I want to move on. Now, that's not a negative thing. I mean, I'm a believer in, look, if I make a wrong choice, I'm not going to extend the negatives to the poor choice. Why in the world would I do that? I would rather be embarrassed, have people say whatever they want to say about me, but I have made a now better choice. But in acknowledging that I made mistakes or that I did something that was risky or short-sighted or too quick, and as a result, it was a bad decision, I don't care as much about what others might think about me or say about me. What I care about is stopping the bleeding. I want to make a better choice. I'm not going to sit there and go, well, I made this choice and it's clearly not the right company for me, but my goodness, I've only been here 2 months and if I leave now, so I'm going to stick it out for two more years. What? I'm going to be miserable? As opposed to just saying, I made a boneheaded decision and I'm now going to fix it. So, there's a story in USA Today, in this USA Today article that I want to touch on. The gal's name is Sarah. Albuquerque, New Mexico is where Sarah's from. And she was in a communications job at a local animal shelter. But in November of 2021, when a friend told her of an opening for a similar position at a nonprofit education group, she jumped on it. She applied. It offered a much higher salary at a national organization with an opportunity in her mind to rise up the ladder to a director. So she takes the gig. The pandemic absolutely played into it. It made her kind of go, you know what, I want to do something. I want to make the most of my life. I want to take some chances. Also, the inflation. We're talking November 2021. Inflation was already making its move. So she went, you know what, I'm going to do it. So after two Zoom interviews, in a three-week process, she took the job when offered. But the job itself, when she got there, didn't even come close to the description and fulfilling her hopes. She was supposed to be working on annual reports and other publications as a writer and communicator, but she was instead working on writing social media posts. So it was very different. She said she also endured a barrage of criticism without any guidance on how to meet her manager's expectations. And although she was told it was a 9-to-5 job, she had to take calls or work late at night, weekends, and Christmas Eve. Here's what she says. I wish I had taken more time to research the company. Okay. That's just a real life anecdote. This is happening all the time. So here are three practical ways for you to make sure that you don't end up like Sarah. Number one, she just said, I wish I had taken more time. So you need to take the time not just to research the company you're looking at, but also for yourself. Define clearly for yourself, why do I want to leave? Get it out of your head and write it down. Look at it. Define for yourself why you want to leave or are considering leaving. Number two, there's the research piece now that Sarah talked about. Now we look at possible jobs, possible organizations, and we research them. Is it a healthy culture? Do they have a healthy reputation? Is it a place that allows me to step forward in my career and keep moving forward? Number three, remind yourself that if the company that you're leaving can't survive without you, they won't survive with you. This is the right move for you. This is the right place to go. And then step forward without any regret. Now, coming up next, a lot of people left for new jobs. Ooh, we'll stay on this topic. And then what about these unions? All right, folks, welcome back to the Ken Coleman Show. Thrilled you're here. We're helping you win at work and win in life. All right, I want to just continue for just one more moment. I want to give one more takeaway on our opening topic, this idea of how do you leave a job without regret? Because once you decide that this is better for you, you have got to understand that if you do not, I say this many times, we have a lot of new people joining the show all the time. Once you decide that this new opportunity in the form of a new job, new company is the right move for you, you've done your homework, you know it's not just a sweet spot role where you use what you do best, talent, to do work you love, passion, to produce results that matter to your mission, and it's a healthy culture. Once we've determined this is a good spot, you've now got to attach this move to your desired future. Because if you don't, you will have all of these feelings about the confrontation, and that's what this feels like when you resign. And you've got to get this. If you don't take this opportunity because it's right for you, because you're worried about current coworkers or the confrontation with your current leader to leave, or here's one we didn't mention in the first segment, which I want to touch on, friends and family. Maybe you're taking a gig that's going to move you away from friends and family, primarily family here, and you start to get some guilt from the family because they're going, we don't want you to leave and take the grandkids. I mean, it's real. Listen to me. If you don't do what's right for you and deal with the disappointment that others will feel, you will end up not taking the right move for you to please others or to avoid disappointing them, and then you will resent them, which is why I've said a million times, I would rather disappoint someone than resent them. See, the disappointment is on their end. That's up to them to deal with it. It's up to Mimi and Paw to get over their feelings and save their money up and come see the grandkids. And they need to be happy for you because you're pursuing what you believe you're supposed to do. They need to get on board with that, not guilt you. I understand their hearts are broken. I get it. But that family thing holds a lot of people back too, and I want to touch on that. It's not always guilt for leaving good people in a good company that have helped you and built into you. It's also sometimes guilt you're getting from family or friends, and I want to make sure we call that out. Because if you turn down a great opportunity for your life, you will resent them for it. Trust me. So that'll eat you alive. All right. Oh my goodness. This is very, very interesting. Starbucks super CEO Howard Schultz is back as interim CEO. Why? We'll break it down next in the news. Let's go. All right. Howard Schultz, as I just mentioned, is now back. He had served as the CEO of Starbucks he's replacing Kevin Johnson, who had served as CEO since 2017. So if you're unfamiliar with Howard Schultz, he helped turn Starbucks into the global brand that it is today, overseeing the company as it grew from 11 stores and 100 employees, which is amazing, to 28,000 stores worldwide. And now he's back. Why is Howard back? It's not just to replace the outgoing CEO, Kevin Johnson. It's because Starbucks has got its hands full with its workforce. And they're going, we need Howard back. Starbucks workers are increasingly upset. And not only are they upset, they are banding together and trying to make unions happen. There's a wave in the Starbucks employee base and group that are trying to make unions happen store by store. Now, this started in a Buffalo, New York region, and now it's sweeping across stores throughout the country. Close to 190 Starbucks stores have petitioned for union elections, and 10 stores, half of which are in Buffalo, and the others are in New York City, Mesa, Arizona, and Knoxville, Tennessee, have voted to join Workers United. So they've not just talking about it. They're voting to do it. They're getting all fired up. In this article, which, by the way, is a, I believe this is a, boy, I don't know what it is. Anyway, what is it? Thank you. NPR. They've got a picture of a bunch of Starbucks workers huddled, raising hands in the air as though they have just won a big basketball game or football game. If you detect a little bit of rancor in my voice, I'm just getting warmed up. Hang on for about 2 minutes. I'm about ready to tell you fine folks the lie that unions tell you and the negativity that unions create. Oh boy. Stay tuned. It's just moments away. But here's what's going on. Starbucks employees who are referred to as partners by the company as a whole. They want higher wages, changes to scheduling systems, and transformation of how the company handles tips. Some have expressed frustration as pandemic benefits, such as hazard pay and daily food and drink allowances, were taken away, even while Starbucks sales rebounded and profits soared. So Schultz comes back. And the big mess he's got to try to clean up is this whole unionization situation. So he goes to Buffalo, where all this started, and he talks to the workers there, and he basically says, this is a direct quote, "No partner has ever needed," and he's talking about, again, Starbucks employees, that's what they refer to them as, "no partner has ever needed to have a representative," he's talking about union rep, "to seek to obtain things we all have as partners at Starbucks. I am saddened and concerned to hear that anyone thinks that this is needed now." Now, it's not just Starbucks. Amazon, last week, a tiny new union managed to pierce Amazon's Maginot line. Maginot, thank you. That's what I said first. Thank you very much. I'm hooked on phonics. Don't ever doubt that, folks. At an 8,000-employee warehouse in Staten Island, New York. Now, let me tell you something, folks. I don't know what you know about unions. I'm going to tell you all, I know more about it than the average bear because I used to be in politics. It's not easy to unionize 8,000 employees. That's harder to do than it is to get a consensus vote at a Baptist church business meeting. And that's the all-time worst thing you've ever seen in your life. And you Baptists, relax if you got your feelings hurt. I'm a Baptist preacher's kid, so shut up. I can make fun of my own. All right. Everybody tends to think, if you're not educated on what unions are, that, oh, it's a good thing. Now, folks, I tell you every day that I'm a man of the people, and I am a man of the people. But unions are bad for the people. Why? Well, number one, unions don't organize and represent you, the people, for free. It actually costs you money. Union dues. Go do your homework on the Google, all right, about all the bad stories and awful ways that union leaders take those dudes of hardworking American women and men and abuse them. Don't use them properly. Number two, unions create an unnecessary adversarial tension between the employees and the company leaders. Just by having a union, it already says from day one, it's us versus you. Number three, unions decisions don't always represent the people in the unions. They don't always advance the wishes of the employees. Number four, unions by nature discourage individuality and personal growth. Because it's not like, hey, I can win in this company and grow, climb the ladder. No, you can only do what the union says you can do. Oh, Ken, you're starting to make a good point. I know. Strip politics out of it for a second, if you dare. You ready for this? Because unions create higher costs for companies and drive prices for consumers up. Hey, unions aren't unions. It's a political organization that doesn't help anybody. Stick that in your pipe and smoke it. This is the Ken Coleman Show. All right, folks, welcome back to the Ken Coleman Show, helping you win at work and in life. You have relational purpose and you have professional purpose. And I'm trying to help people see that life is meant to be lived on purpose in our relationships, but also in the workplace. You were created to fill a unique role in this world professionally. That means you are needed. You're tremendously valuable. And it also means that you need to show up and do it. Has it occurred to you that when you go do good work, when you do work you love, when you produce results through that work that matter to you, that there's somebody on the other end of that? And that it's not about you, it's about them? That's what I think, and I think you agree. Love coaching you up. Hey, for those of you who want to make the move, this is still a white hot, I mean, insanely opportunistic time for anybody who wants to change jobs, change the right way. I've taught you how to look for the right job. I've told you what to look for in the right culture. But then there's the looking part, which is awful gross, and it's a lot of ghosting, and it's frustrating. And that's why I endorse what is a world-class service that is free to you, and that's ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter, the number one job site in the United States, because their artificial intelligence software allows you to go in minutes at ZipRecruiter.com to fill out a profile, attach your resume, and with one click, when they send you jobs that they think are a good fit for you, you just go click and you apply. And then they're out pitching you all the time. So I don't know why you wouldn't engage with this service. Sign up for free at ZipRecruiter.com. That's ZipRecruiter.com. All right, Fazal is on the line in Austin, Texas. Fazal, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hey, Ken, how are you doing?
I'm living the dream. What are you doing?
Thanks for taking my call. I'm hopefully going to be living the dream soon.
I like that.
I have a question about managing expectations. So I'm a college student. I'm 22, and I graduate in the summer. In December, I got an offer from a company for about $80K, but I wasn't too happy with it based on industry average. So I kept looking, and now I have an offer that I accepted of around $170,000.
Well, I'm sorry. Say that clear. You turned down $80,000? To get one, and now you got 170.
Yes.
Hold on a second. This is what we call the slow clap for Fazal. Attaboy. That's pretty impressive.
Thank you very much.
Okay, so what's the question?
So the question is, when I got that offer, my first thought was still, I can do Uber and on the side and get to $200K. And it's a dream job. It's a great company. But there are jobs out there that are $250 in my industry.
Yeah, whoa, stop. You're not even out of college yet. And you got a $170,000 job, and you can't stop thinking about the jobs that are $250?
Yeah, unfortunately. And
Hold on. I haven't given you a chance. I'm going to give you a chance to speak. I'm coaching you up right now. Do you hear how absurd that sounds?
I do. In my mind, I do.
Well, wait a second. Hold on. The job, you've got an offer for $170,000 out of college, and all you can think about is the $250,000 job that I'm guessing you're not even qualified for yet. Am I right?
Kind of, yeah.
Okay, whoa. So how about we take the $170,000 job and we do a really great job of busting our tail and delivering results in the now, and then prepare ourselves, set ourselves up to step into the 250 and even higher. But brother, there's nothing wrong with you. I'm not picking on you, but I'm trying to wake you up. Mm-hmm. You are suffering from a massive case of futurism. It is critically dangerous, because here's what I know about humans, including myself. If we obsess about the next, Fazal, we will miss what we need to do in the now, what we need to become in the now, who we need to learn from in the now, and ultimately sacrifice the next. You aren't qualified. You aren't ready for the 250. You're not ready.
Thank you.
You're not ready.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Take the 170 and do a freaking happy dance. And then go in and crush it.
Gotcha.
If I do not win the now, Fazal, there will not be a next. I love your spirit. I think you're going to be wildly successful. But if you're not careful, you will always have an eye on the next and the future, and you're going to talk yourself out of what you need to be doing and becoming in the now. It's a real temptation for ambitious people. You got me?
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
All right, then. Take the 170 now, bro. What are we waiting on?
Nothing anymore.
All right. And now listen, I'm having some fun with you, but I'm as serious as I can be. Okay? You are a bright young man with an incredibly bright future. Learn that little lesson. If we obsess about the next and miss what we need in the now, we ultimately sacrifice the next. That is your mantra. I want you to write it on your mirror, put it on your closet door, and then lean into that. Okay?
Absolutely.
All right. I appreciate the call. He's got a bright future in front of him, a really bright future. And by the way, that is a lesson, that little phrase, don't obsess about the next and miss what you need in the now, or you'll ultimately sacrifice the next. Let me say it again because that is so good. Somebody needs to write it down today. Somebody needs to tweet it, put it on Instagram. Give me credit for it. At Ken Coleman. But listen to me. Listen, it's gold. And by the way, this is not just professional advice. I'm going to say it again slowly. And I want everybody watching and listening to apply this to every area of your life. Apply this to your parenting. Apply this to your romantic life. Apply this to your financial life. Apply it to your professional life. Apply it to your physical life. If I obsess about the next, and that means desired future. If I obsess about it, my eyes are only on that, and I miss what I need to do in the now, I will ultimately sacrifice the next. Oh, people grab this. The reason I say that so effortlessly is because it was advice for me that I wrote down in a moleskin that looked very much like this many years ago as I sat on my patio having a gigantic pity party because I wasn't making any progress in my career pivot into broadcasting. All I was thinking about is a day like today. When I sit in this gorgeous studio that Dave Ramsey paid cash for. And I have now two best-selling books. And I get the opportunity to speak to hundreds and thousands of people each year. I'm in my dream job. But I was sitting on my patio having a pity party. Look like Eeyore from Winnie the Pooh. Who knows what I'm talking about? I mean, pathetic. Stay with me. Because all I was thinking about is moments like this. I could see it and I was dreaming and it was as clear as I could envision it. And yet I wasn't doing anything in the moment to give myself the opportunity to sit at this desk. And it was that day, I'm not kidding you, that I wrote it down. And it was a personal challenge. Ken, stop obsessing about the next. I'll never forget it. It's how I wrote it. Stop obsessing about the next because you are not doing what you need to do now to ever have the opportunity to achieve the dream. We humans are creatures of progress. We're great dreamers, and I love dreaming. But dreaming without doing is worthless. In fact, dreaming without doing is a guarantee for frustration, which will then turn into desperation. Like, Ken, why are you so fired up? Because I'm trying to save some of you. I'm the guy in the road. I'm the fork in the road going, don't go down the path of desperation and frustration. Do what you need to do in the now. If you're paying off debt, it works. If you're losing weight, it works. If you're trying to find the one for you, it works. Don't obsess about the next. And miss what you need to do in the now, or you will ultimately sacrifice the next. I don't even want to quit. I'm having so much fun. That music means I got to quit for now. You matter. You have what it takes. This is the Ken Coleman Show. Press on.
Thanks for listening to the Ken Coleman Show. For more, you can find the show on demand wherever you listen to podcasts and watch the show on YouTube. You can also find Ken across all social media by following at Ken Coleman.
If you enjoy this podcast, you should check out other great podcasts from the Ramsey Network, like the Dr. John Deloney Show.
Mental health challenges and hurting relationships happen to everyone. But they don't have to define you. I'm Dr. John Deloney, and I help people navigate through the messy things in their lives on the Dr. John Deloney Show. I'll walk alongside you as you face parenting, marriage, and other relationship challenges, and I'll walk alongside you as you try to connect with people, as you face depression, overcome anxiety, and learn how to change your life. Listen, I want you to be well. Listen to the Dr. John Deloney Show wherever you listen to podcasts.